after almost 2 long years of intentional study on racial justice, plus everything that came before, you'd think I'd have sort of a memorized sermon or 10 to preach on Racial Justice Sunday. I do, but we'd be here a long time. But in all seriousness, I found myself this week having the hardest time trying to figure out really where I wanted to go, better yet, where we should go on this day. And it wasn't until probably 3:30 this morning that it finally started to come together. That's not really true. It came together before, but I take it apart and put it back together. So there are a couple of things in this particular reading that strike me. And the imagery of salt and light are ones that we've heard of before, yes? There's also this notion of fulfillment. I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we don't always know what that means, right? We can add some sort of theological salvation ideas to it, but really it's the idea of making what has already been taught more robust. Do you know what I mean by that? When you read Hebrew scriptures, when you read the law and the prophets, you really understand that it is about seeking an intimate relationship with the divine and making sure that all oppression ceases. If we were to sum it up, love one another as I have loved you and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? You've heard that before? Okay, just want to make sure. But I felt like I wanted to just sort of tap into a couple of definitions. And so rather than trying to come up with something profound, I went to the dictionary. This notion of light. Light is about something that stimulates sight and makes things visible. An expression in someone's eyes indicating a particular emotion or mood. The actual brightness of an item, such as a lamp or sun. Understanding of a problem or mystery and enlightenment. To provide with light or lightning to illuminate. To make something start burning, ignite, to spark, enkindle. All of those wonderful words to sort of describe what light is. And I'm sure you could come up with a whole bunch more, yes? Just say yes, and that way I'll know you're smart. Yes, yes, yes. Salt is obviously something that flavors, that makes things tastier, right? But here are some other. To be salty, don't. Although I do like this. Witty, earthy, sharp, coarse, again, don't. Engagingly stimulating or provocative. I like it. What can I say? And fulfill. To achieve, accomplish, realize, satisfy, justify, to bear out, live up to, bring about, make happen, bring to fruition, follow through, and be in accordance with. Did y'all memorize that? And then this really interesting word, restore. When we talk about racial justice, we talk about restoration. And there are different kinds of restoration. This particular type of restoration would say that it's about reinstating, reestablishing, returning, bringing back, giving back, refurbish, renovate, repair, rebuild, recondition. And that can be true of a building, but what we're talking about here is of relationships. Amen? How, though, can we restore that which we do not see as broken? I'm going to say that again. How can we restore that which we do not see as broken? In my studies of racial justice, one of the things that has become very clear to me, a lot of things have become very clear to me, but one of the things is probably the greatest enemy on this journey to eradicate systemic injustice and racism is the progressive liberal person who believes that they don't have a racist bone in their body. Yes, I'm talking about us. There's no secret here. And that is not an indictment, that is just a truth. And we can say, but we do have a handle on it, or we do recognize that that is a problem. But I'm going to give you two examples recently of where you would think that racism is so obvious. I'm going to start from the last one first. I watched part of the debates the other night. I don't know why I do that. I don't know, maybe it's community service, I don't know. The moderator asked Pete Buttigieg why it was that while he was mayor for 6 or 8 years, don't quote me, the arrest rate of African Americans went up for charges of marijuana possession. He responded with, well, during my administration, what we actually saw was a reduction in the arrests of people of color and blah, 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 yada, 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 da, 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 da. That's what he said, right? I mean, you heard that too. And the moderator came back and said, you didn't answer the question. Can you explain during your administration, why there was actually a shift from the national average and that your city actually had the highest rate in the country of people of African descent being arrested for marijuana charges? Well, actually, blah, 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 mansplaining, mansplaining, da, 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 boom. Now, from a queer perspective, I want to say, Pete, you're making the rest of us look bad. Likewise, he is the epitome of, at least from a stereotypical perspective, of what a progressive politician looks like and someone that we would think would have a clue. Yes? The moderator then went over to Elizabeth Warren and said, did he answer the question? She said no, because what else would she say? They're going to argue with each other all night, and it doesn't matter. I don't know how much she gets either. But the point is this. He could not see the problem. All he could see was that he was in no way responsible for it. And he chalked some of it up to, we've really cracked down on gang violence, on gun control, and everything else, and that's where you're seeing the arrests. Three times the moderator asked him, and three times he, I don't even want to say, skirted the issue. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. Thursday night, Dina, Cayenne, Deborah, Laura, there you are, Catherine, showed up for the first Policing the Police, they had a much fancier name, but at a civil accountability strategy meeting with members of the Black community. And actually, the chief of police showed up also for this. And it was the first time in all of the events that have happened since the shooting, the murder of Devon Bailey, that somebody from a position of power actually showed up. And I will say there were also council people there, too, and it was the first time they came also. And the idea was to find out how this community, as in the whole entire Colorado Springs community, can go forward and create a civil accountability committee to oversee police whenever there has been a charge of police brutality, shooting, etc. Now, I do not know the political persuasion of the chief, and that is insignificant, except that I'm assuming that he leans a little bit more to the conservative area just because of historically of where he's fallen on certain issues. And I do that intentionally because I want to hold it up against Pete, or perhaps better, with Pete. Okay? In the conversation, the panel, which consisted of a professor, Roja, from Colorado College, Reverend Dr. Stephanie Spaulding, a woman whose name, forgive me, I cannot remember, but is the liaison between the accountability office in Denver and the community, Kevin Mitchell, who is a member of the NAACP and also an activist in town, and right smack in the middle, I put the chief, poor guy. But it was a conversation to try to get him to hear, and I'm going to use the word see instead of hear, because in this particular case, I think it's pretty synonymous. What folks were saying about the pain that they had experienced and the lack of compassion and understanding that was going on from the powers that be that caused this tragedy and multitude of other tragedies where people were shot and murdered over the past few years in the Colorado Springs area. And there was this intense sort of please, please, and I'm paraphrasing, hear us. Hear us. Almost like the moderator saying, okay, but Your Honor, why is it that you're during your administration, and he came back with his, and during this, there were people were saying, can you hear what we're asking you? Can you hear this? And finally, somebody asked, in your opinion, do you think you have a problem with racism in the police department? Anybody want to guess what his answer was? No. He did say, we do have an occasional bad apple, quote, and then we move them along. And there was further conversation about what is the kind of training that your police department has. And then somebody else held up a picture of the new graduating class of 60. How many people of color were in that graduating class? One. But in all seriousness, with both Mayor Buttigieg, and with the Colorado Springs police chief, when he answered, no, we don't, and the mayor answered, yeah, but, I believe that they believed they were right. I do not think for a second that they were trying to skirt the question. I really don't. For the rest of us sitting there, it seemed like the chief was avoiding this, right? I'm not going to get into this now. This is too big. I'm not going to go there. And for those who are watching the debate, it certainly looked like Peter was not going to get into it either. Nope, I'm going to go around this because I'm not going to touch this. I don't think that's true. I think they both really believed they were answering the question. I really do. I truly believe that the police chief of Colorado Springs does not think there is a racism problem in the police department. And I really think that His Honor the Mayor doesn't think that what happened during his administration was reflective of racism in his city. When Jesus talks about being light, we like to imagine that we are being called into that sort of sentimental, romantic notion of demonstrating the presence of Jesus in the world by showing light. Yes, it gets a little sketchy, loving one another. It can be really tough to do. And sometimes we're in a bad mood and we don't want to smile at one another. But we really like the idea of being the presence of God in the world, don't we? Who doesn't? Dare ya. Right? We love that. We like that externalness of being the light. But what about when the light is actually shown on us? Into the deep recesses of our denial. of who we are, or of what our explicit and implicit bias might be. We don't like the light so much there, do we? We don't mind putting it out. But when you shine it here, oh, heck no. You're getting it all wrong. When we talk about racial justice, before we can even get to the restoration, which is really more toward later in the journey, when you're actually in relationship with folks of African descent, Native descent, Latinx descent, then, right, then you can really start having those deep conversations toward restoration and reconciliation. But it cannot happen until that light first is turned inward. We cannot do the work of any kind of restoration or reconciliation until we can look at ourselves and say, what is it I do not know? Why is it that I feel so threatened when someone says, let's talk about race? Why is it I feel compelled to defend myself when I'm not the one who's oppressed? I say this every time we talk about racism. This is not the last time we'll have this conversation. So I expect an empty church next week. This is a really difficult topic, and it's not enough that we have 1 month that we recognize African American History Month, and it's not one day that we have Racial Justice Sunday. But it is a lifelong journey. It is a journey that demands that not only are we in conversation with those who are offended, but that we are in conversation with ourselves who have been complicit in the offending. It is hard work. It is hard work, and it is necessary because it permeates every aspect of our social system. It permeates every system: education, healthcare, housing, banking, law, everything. And we cannot be true and honest in the journey until we recognize where we have not been true and honest with ourselves. And so the invitation stands. The invitation to be light for the world. The invitation to be salty, because I like salty better than salt, so I'm claiming it, and I'll share it with you. This demands our attention, and it demands our attention always. And there will be multiple opportunities as the year progresses where you can engage in conversations about race and racism in this church. We are finishing up one round now, and there will be other conversations as we go forward. So go home, read a book called White Privilege, shine some light on who you are and how you feel, and then let's get about the work of actual divine restoration. Amen? Amen.